Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. But I look good. I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. You are now locked into WKAR's current sports right here live inside of Studio S on the campus of Michigan State University inside of the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences right here on WKAR, AM 870, 94.5 FM. I am your host, Al Martin, and we have another busy show to bring to you all. On today's current sports, we will be taking a break just for a moment during segment B, away from the whole Michigan State scandal and the dark cloud that is certainly hovering heavily over East Lansing and over Michigan State University. We will talk Detroit Pistons with James Edwards III. He is a Detroit Pistons beat reporter for The Athletic Detroit. There was a pretty big trade involving the Pistons and the Los Angeles Clippers. News that broke yesterday evening. So, we'll talk with James around segment B. After we get done with our headliners, we will address a question that has been on the minds of many Michigan State fans out there and many who have been following this story, dating back to, of course, Larry Nassar's sentencing and then the ESPN report that broke late in the week. Well, I should say, not late in the week, actually, the same day that, you know, well, yeah, I guess you can say late in the week. It was Friday. Mark Hollis came out, you know, and stepped down as Michigan State University Athletic Director. And then ESPN published a report that same day detailing many incidences of sexual abuse, sexual assault as it pertains to members, former members of the Michigan State men's basketball team and the Michigan State football team. Many of you were very shocked, as was I, when it came to the details of that report. And many of you, you know, a few days after that report aired, and of course it was re-aired and repackaged for ESPN's Outside the Lines special entitled, Is Anyone Listening? The Crisis at Michigan State. That aired on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And I have gotten many calls from you all. I've gotten many text messages. I've gotten many Facebook messages from you all concerning the ESPN report. And there are a lot of you that feel like ESPN is on a witch hunt right now, that ESPN has it out for Michigan State University, that ESPN is just publishing these reports for ratings because ESPN has had some well-documented troubles as of late when it comes to their programming. So many of you feel like ESPN is out to get Michigan State University. I am going to address that topic. And I want to hear from you all who believe that or may not believe that. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join the conversation via social media. You can go to our Facebook page right now at facebook.com/currentsports. We have the live stream up and running. You can comment below that video and I will get to your comments throughout this hour. You can even tweet us as well. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR is my Twitter handle, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Again, the question I'm asking to you all, do you believe that the worldwide leader, the mothership, as Dan Patrick now calls it, ESPN, is out to get Michigan State University. And what did you think of the E60 reports? Again, 517-355-WKAR. And then on the back end of the show, our very own Kevin Lavery will bring us a story that really kind of compares what's going on here at Michigan State University to what happened at Penn State University with the Nittany Lions, with the whole Jerry Sandusky case. Kevin got the opportunity to talk with a reporter who followed the Jerry Sandusky case very closely when it was going down. And Kevin will have a conversation with that reporter, which you'll find out who that is in just a moment later on this hour. And as they discuss what's happening here at Michigan State and the parallels that it has and had at Penn State University. So that and more, you know what's next, though. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with some college basketball news pertaining to the Michigan, the University of Michigan men's basketball program as they beat Northwestern last night. Now, Northwestern wanted to slow down Michigan to a crawl last night in Ann Arbor. For 15 minutes, worked out pretty well. The Wolverines didn't have the offensive explosion that they showed last week at Purdue. Still found more than enough strength to down visiting the Wildcats with a 58-47 win at the Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor. Charles Matthews scored a team-high 14 points. Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, he added 11. Michigan had its problems at the free throw line this season. Notably, point guard Xavier Simpson, but the Wolverines did hit enough late when Northwestern attempted to extend the game by fouling the Wolverines over the final 3 minutes. Simpson stayed on the floor throughout most of that stretch, going 2 of 4 from the line. The Wolverines will next play on Saturday, hosting Minnesota at 2:30 p.m. You can watch that one on Fox. The Wolverines now sit at 18-6 overall, 7-4 in the Big Ten Conference. Michigan State men's basketball, the winner of four straight, cracked the top five in the Associated Press men's college basketball poll, moving to number 5 from number 6, so up one spot. Michigan surged from number 24 to number 25 in the rankings released on Monday. Michigan 17-6, now again getting its 18th win from last night, 18-6 overall. Meanwhile, Virginia took a step forward in its first top ranking in 35 years. How about that? Earning 17 of 65 first place votes from the media panel following wins over number 18 Clemson and number 4 Duke. Villanova remained at number 1 for the fourth straight week, receiving 47 first-place votes after a pair of victories last week. Purdue had 1 first-place vote and remained at number 3. Duke did not fall back despite its loss to Virginia. And Michigan State, again, moving up to round out the top 5. All right, Mike Smith, we brought to you the story that Mike, former Eaton Rapids High school football coach Mike Smith, named the new athletic director at Lansing Everett High School. Well, news has broken that Mike Smith will now become the new head football coach for the Vikings. That was pretty much expected, and we will have Mike a part of our broadcast very soon to talk about his new role as Lansing Everett athletic director and now Lansing Everett head football coach. All right, blockbuster trade deal that concerns the Detroit Pistons and Los Angeles Clippers. The Clippers traded all-star forward Blake Griffin to the D. The Clips will receive Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, and Boban Marjanovic, and a first-round and second-round draft pick. I don't like this trade at all. The Clippers are also sending Bryce Johnson and Willie Reed to the Pistons alongside Griffin. Projections on Detroit's 2018 first-round pick include 1 through 4 in 2018, 2019, and 2020, and unprotected in 2021, sources said.
This season, Griffin is averaging a little over 22 points per game, 22.6 to be exact, 7.9 boards per game, and 5.4 assists. In 33 games for the just over 500 Clippers, sitting at 25-24 on the year, ninth place in the NBA's Western Conference, 14.5 games behind the Golden State Warriors entering yesterday. The Detroit Tigers, and again, we're going to address that trade again. Keep it locked because we'll have James Edwards III, Detroit Pistons beat writer for The Athletic Detroit. He will join us around 1:30, about 20 minutes from now. Don't miss that. We will talk about the Blake Griffin trade. The Detroit Tigers have been searching for insurance starting pitching. They found some yesterday afternoon, announcing a minor league deal with veteran lefty Travis Wood. The deal includes an invitation to major league spring training. Wood, who turns 31 next week, struggled in 2017, but is one season removed from a solid season with the Chicago Cubs. In eight MLB seasons, he has posted a 4.26 ERA, a 1.31 whip. In 2017, Wood had a 6.80 ERA and a 1.73 whip in 39 games, 14 starts with the Kansas City Royals and the San Diego Padres. The Cleveland Indians will stop using the Chief Wahoo logo on their uniforms beginning in 2019. That's according to Major League Baseball, which said the popular symbol was no longer appropriate for use on the field. The logo has long been the source of anguish and frustration for those who consider it offensive, outdated, and racist. But for many of the team's fans, it is a cherished logo. Chief Wahoo, a cartoonist character of a Native American that has assumed several forms over the years, first appeared on the Indians uniforms back in 1948. Now, despite this move, the NFL's Washington Redskins say that they don't plan on making any changes to their logo or mascot name. So we'll have more on that later on this week, actually. And I found this story to be quite comical. For someone so defined by his tireless work ethic, future Detroit Lions head coach Matt Patricia, he made an unexpected admission during Super Bowl media night yesterday. Quote, "I love to sleep, but it's just really not an option right now. We have three little kids, so we're kind of in that mode. No one's really sleeping in our house." While Patricia's off the field, life revolves primarily around his young children. They're 6, 4, and 2. He has an even bigger time-consuming matter on his hands this week, that being, of course, the Super Bowl. Matt Patricia is the current defensive coordinator for the NFL's New England Patriots. And again, he is slated to become the next head coach for the Detroit Lions. He loves to sleep, but he is also a tireless worker. I love that quote. And last but not least, Brady Hoke, former head coach for the University of Michigan football team. Hoke will become the defensive line coach for the Carolina Panthers, according to a league source. Hoke will replace Eric Washington, who was promoted to defensive coordinator to replace Steve Wilks, who last week was hired as the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals. This will be Hoke's first NFL job. He spent the past year at the University of Tennessee, where he was the defensive line coach and later the interim head coach after Butch Jones was fired. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, our phone lines are open as they customarily are during each and every hour of current sports. If you would like to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And the question that I am asking to our current sports listeners out there, in wake of everything that has happened here at Michigan State in the past 2 weeks now, the Larry Nassar sentencing, and then we saw late in the week last week, ESPN dropping an E60 report that centers on Michigan State men's basketball and Michigan State football and how cases of sexual abuse and sexual assault have been handled or allegedly mishandled by those programs. Do you think that ESPN is out to get Michigan State. That this is like a witch hunt, so to speak. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. We want to hear from you. I am going to address that topic right now, but before we do, how about we play just a snippet from the ESPN E60 piece in which Paula Levine, ESPN's Paula Levine, is the primary reporter on.
Outside the Lines has uncovered two other reports made months before Carolyn's complaint. The first incident involved former star guard Travis Walton. In 2009, he captained Tom Izzo's team to the Final Four. The next year, 2010, he joined Izzo on the bench as a student assistant coach. According to police, while at this bar in January of that year, Walton punched a female student in the face. He was charged with assault and battery.
Travis looking like a young coach in waiting, actually.
Despite the pending criminal charges, Tom Izzo allowed Walton to continue coaching during the 2010 season. Walton was also by Izzo's side when the Spartans made it to the Final Four in April. Shortly after, Walton struck a plea deal and the assault case was dismissed. In exchange, he pleaded guilty to an unrelated littering offense. 2 months later, Coach Tom Izzo signed a new contract and was endorsed by Michigan State President Lou Anna Simon.
An extraordinary coach in person has decided to continue to use his talent, passion, and integrity to help young men and to promote the best of sport.
Then, later that summer, another woman came forward with an additional accusation against Travis Walton. Outside the Lines obtained an internal letter to Michigan State administrators referencing a reported gang rape, naming Walton and two players. The letter notes that Izzo's boss, athletic director Mark Hollis, had direct knowledge of the report. According to the letter, the female student reported her incident to the athletic department after she heard that the same three men had attempted a similar assault on another student. Hollis told the victim's parents that he would conduct his own investigation. He spoke with the coaching staff, and an athletic staffer told the victim and her mother the incident was discussed with the basketball team. None of the players were reprimanded in any way.
Again, welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. If you're just now joining us here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM, I am your host, Al Martin, and that was just a snippet from the ESPN Outside the Lines report, the primary reporter being investigative reporter Paula Levine. As you all know by now, at the end of last week, on the day that Michigan State Athletic Director, now former Athletic Director Mark Hollis, announced his resignation, news broke that ESPN was releasing a piece centered on the Michigan State men's basketball team and Michigan State football team, detailing incidences of sexual assault and abuse that had been allegedly mishandled. You heard, one of those incidences are centered on former Michigan State men's basketball guard and student assistant Travis Walton. And, you know, the details of ESPN's report are a bit troubling when it comes to Walton. And I must say this as well. I mean, when it comes to Walton, wasn't anything new, I don't think, because this has already been reported. However, the specific details, I had never heard of. And I'm going to get to those details in just a moment. But I think it's important to note here that Travis Walton has released a statement. Travis Walton released a statement today and says, quote, over the last several days, allegations have been made about me during my tenure at Michigan State University. In this case, the facts are, and he goes on to detail three bullet points. The first point, quote, I was never hired or fired by Michigan State University. In January of 2010, I was enrolled at Michigan State University, taking the necessary classes to complete my degree. Upon graduation, I returned to Europe to continue my basketball career. Second point, quote, I never physically assaulted a woman at an East Lansing establishment as alleged while conversing with her and without notice or provocation, she threw a drink at me and I subsequently left the establishment. Two written statements from independent objective witnesses were given to the city attorney and support my innocence. Ultimately, the determination to resolve the case was based on the merits of the investigation. Third point, quote, I have never been charged with sexual assault, and to my knowledge, the alleged sexual assault was never reported to Michigan State University or the police. My encounters with this woman were more than just a single occasion, and my actions with her were always consensual. Travis Walton goes on to say, quote, I stand by these facts and I will defend myself to the extent that the law allows. I apologize for the negative attention this has brought my Spartan family, the Clippers organization, and my family and friends. Travis Walton. And for those who don't know, Travis Walton was coaching with the Clippers and they suspended him until they find out further details as investigations proceed. You know, I talked about how yesterday Magic Johnson, Urban Magic Johnson, has come out and he has basically called that if anyone was aware of the sexual assault happening to women on the MSU campus from the Office of the President, Board of Trustees, Athletic Department, Faculty and Campus Police, and didn't say or do anything about it, they should be fired. We brought those tweets to you yesterday. And again, the question that I'm asking to you all is, in light of the ESPN report centered on Michigan State men's basketball and football, do you believe that ESPN is out to get Michigan State University? Is this a witch hunt? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. As you all know, this has been a very trying few weeks here at Michigan State University, and this is only the beginning. And it amazes me, here in 2018, how quick many of us are to really jump to conclusions, and how many of us are so impatient and we want things to happen immediately. We want change to happen immediately. And I have to address this. When it comes to Larry Nassar and his enabled behavior, he will, and rightfully so, spend the rest of his natural life behind bars. As he should. 156 abused young women and girls coming forth and detailing what occurred to them in appointments with Nassar. It was a very powerful 7-day sentencing hearing. And as I've noted numerous times here on our airwaves, those who were in charge during an over 2-decade period when Larry Nassar was employed here at Michigan State University as a team doctor, those who were in leadership positions and knew or didn't know anything needed to be held accountable and needed to either step down or be fired. And what did we see? Luana K. Simon, former Michigan State University president, rightfully stepped down. Mark Hollis, now former Michigan State athletic director, in my opinion, rightfully stepped down. Because those are certainly two individuals who were in leadership positions, may or may not have known what was going on, but if you didn't know what was going on, that's just as bad. They needed to step down. I did not know, like many of you, that ESPN was going to put out a report later on that day when Hollis stepped down that detailed and put a spotlight on how Michigan State men's basketball and Michigan State football have handled or allegedly mishandled sexual abuse cases. No one knew that was going to drop. And you know what? If you look at the reporting, and I thought it was a great job by Paula Levine. I mean, she got what she could get because it's been so tough, as she has noted, trying to work with Michigan State when trying to get to the bottom of some of these cases. She has gotten back heavily redacted reports and been put through numerous loopholes. She has been working on this story for about 3 years. 3 years. And the interviews that you saw, Michigan State student Carolyn Shaner, one of those individuals who was interviewed, and also former Michigan State sexual assault counselor Lauren Allsweed, those interviews were conducted last year, the end of last year. And I don't think that it's just perfect timing that ESPN decided to drop these stories centered on Michigan State men's basketball and football the same week of the Larry Nassar sentencing. Not a coincidence. Because this amplifies the spotlight. And to that, I say this, and you know, and I made this comment over the weekend as Impact Sports, Michigan State student radio station, they invited me to their Sunday sports show. Myself, Ryan Schuling of the Schuling Report, and which is a local radio show here, sports talk radio show here as well, and Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press. Impact Sports invited all three of us for a discussion on what has happened and what happened last week. And I made this statement concerning the ESPN reports. Did you really think that it was going to stop at Larry Nassar? This was a man whose behavior was enabled by many, many people. There were many gymnasts who tried to come forth. Not even just gymnasts, athletes as well. I mean, Tiffany Thomas Lopez tried to come forward and say, hey, something's wrong here. I think I was sexually abused. And it's documented that Michigan State gymnastics coach Kathy Klages brought Larissa Boyce in and said, basically, look, if I do follow through with this, you know, this is going to really be bad for Larry Nassar and yourself. Do you really want to go through with this? Basically discouraging her from filing a report. Same thing happened to Tiffany Thomas Lopez when she tried to go to an athletic trainer. And Tiffany Thomas Lopez in the ESPN report basically said that this athletic trainer, who is still employed by Michigan State, by the way, made her feel like she was crazy. The most prolific abuser of sexual assault was allowed to be a team doctor here on the campus of Michigan State University for more than two decades. Did you really think that the national media was going to stop there? Did you really believe that? You know, quick story. My first apartment, when I got my first job here as a sports reporter here in the area, my first apartment had roaches in it. Yep, not ashamed to admit that. I'm a pretty clean guy, all right? I know you're probably judging me right now as you listen to this. My first apartment had roaches in the kitchen. And as you can imagine, I was pretty horrified when I found... And it was so crazy how it happened. I had a microwave in the kitchen, as most people do, normal people do, right? And I looked at the time, and all of a sudden, I look at the time, the digital dial. I saw like this little critter run across the digital dial, and I got freaked out. Like, oh my gosh, what was that? That didn't just read 1 o'clock. That read something else, and something just walked by it. So I freaked out, and I go in the kitchen, and I open up the microwave, and lo and behold, there is a roach inside of the digital dial. And I look in the back of the microwave, and there's like two more roaches just running around. I'm like, oh my gosh. I freaked out. I completely freaked out. Like I was a little girl. I went crazy. So naturally, after I calmed down a bit, what did I do? I began to clean my kitchen pretty thoroughly. And I began to look everywhere in the kitchen to see if it wasn't just around the microwave that this problem existed. I opened every cabinet. I opened the fridge. I mopped and looked underneath the cabinets as well. I mean, I looked everywhere just to make sure that there were no more roaches in my kitchen. I even called pest control and said, look, I got a roach problem. I need you guys to come through and check out what's going on in my kitchen, okay? Larry Nassar was that roach here at Michigan State University. Larry Nassar was that roach that infested this university and damaged the reputation of my alma mater. Did you really think that after seeing the worst case of sexual abuse known in university history, did you really think people were going to stop prying there? Did you really think investigators, journalists, weren't going to look at other parts of this university to see if this is a quote-unquote cultural problem? I welcome this investigation. I really do. And as I stated on yesterday's Current Sports, if Tom Izzo and Mark D'Antonio, if they did in fact follow protocol like they have said numerous times they have nothing to worry about. Spartan fans, if you got the back of head coach Tom Izzo and head coach Mark D'Antonio, and if you believe that they are a man of their word and they follow protocol here, you have nothing to worry about. Because as time goes on here and this investigation proceeds, the truth will reveal itself. So why are you sweating off these reports? Why? Because the reputation of these two men are being tarnished and dragged. The truth is going to come out. You better believe that. The truth is going to come out. And I have to, and I have to call out ESPN for this as well, because this did anger and upset me as well. When I saw ESPN's first take yesterday and Molly Quirm on her final take call out the death penalty for Michigan State University, I said, you got to be kidding me. Now, you talk about a ratings ploy. That was clickbait without a doubt. What we all need to do is take a step back, let all of this information digest, hit the pause button, and let these investigations play out. I know that is so tough to do here in 2018, where we live in Twitterverse and everything is immediate and we love drama. The other day, I'm asking my grandma, why in the world do you watch, you know, and I watch it too. I can't even front. Why do you watch all these reality shows? Why do you watch Love and Hip Hop? Why do you watch Judge Judy? Well, it's entertaining. I like the drama. That's the type of world we live in today. We love the drama. We love watching controversy. And it's pretty sick. That's a sick world we live in today. But when you talk about something of this magnitude and what's being detailed in these ESPN reports, we all need to hit the pause button, stop making these outlandish statements about Coach Izzo, Coach D'Antonio in the program, and let the truth come out through these investigations. Let's sit back. Take a sigh of a breath, because I think we all need it. We all need a collective breath right now when looking at what has happened these past 2 weeks. It's disturbing, without a doubt. And Coach Izzo and Coach D'Antonio and both of those programs have a lot of questions to answer. And you better believe they will be answered. Thoughts, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media. Facebook.com/Current Sports live stream is up and running. Comment below that video, and I'm going to get to your comments in just a moment. Tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will invite to our airwaves James Edwards III, Detroit Pistons beat reporter for The Athletic Detroit. He will detail what in the world went down yesterday evening as the Pistons have a new man coming to town in Blake Griffin. And also, calls are still coming in. Mike and Austin, I'm going to get to you guys in just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have been chatting about whether or not you believe that ESPN is on a witch hunt right now. Do they have, are they out to get MSU? That's the question I'm asking right now. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Seeing some comments coming on our Facebook page. Joe says it happened on their watch. It's their responsibility as leaders to take ownership. Joe, we don't know anything right now, okay? We got to let this investigation play out. And then let's have the conversation whether or not Tom Izzo needs to step down as head coach. And the same thing needs to happen to Coach D'Antonio. We don't know. Let's wait. What is wrong with us just waiting and letting this investigation come out? Letting the facts play out? I don't understand why we want immediacy and rush to these hardcore conclusions when it pertains to something as serious as sexual assault and sexual abuse. Let the investigators do their job, all right? I'm going to get to a few comments. Many comments are rolling in right now on our Facebook page. We've got two callers. I'm asking that both of you make it brief. We only got 20 minutes left, and I still got to get James Edwards III on, okay? So I'll start with Mike. Mike, make it quick. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports.
Welcome to WKAR. Thanks for taking my call. Al, I'm just listening to all the journalism, reading all the journalism and listening to all the information. And you know what? Journalism is not dead, man. It is still alive and well in this country. And it's great to see that being being promoted and everything. But what I want to do, we all fans and we all support the teams and everything. But like you said, just be patient and let the facts come out, man. And this is a big game changer, because this is talk about culture, talk about the places we work at, the teams and organizations and youth sports. So I thought I'd just throw that on out to me. Thanks for taking my call. I'm at a car dealership anyway, so I can't talk to you much longer. I'm getting my oil changed.
Okay, get back to work then, Mike. Get your oil changed, man. But thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, man.
Much appreciated, my man Mike from Saginaw. All right, Austin from KZOO Online 2. Austin, what's up, my man?
Hey, what's up, Al? First off, before I make your comment, you make my comment, your voice of your grandma was epic, and I hope current sports say that in the archives.
Right, baby? I love my Judge Judy. That's my grandma. She watches Judge Judy, and she loves loving hip-hop. She loves watching the drama, man. She loves watching the drama.
There you go, man. So I got a couple things. I'm going to keep it quick. The only thing, well, one of the things that I dislike about the way ESPN presented this is I feel like they've now put Coach D and Coach Izzo in the same category as Larry Nassar, and they didn't really make much of a separation between what happened and what's going on. And then my second point is we have to wait and see what happens. Right. And my question of it all is, if it turns out that Coach D and Coach Izzo tells the truth, we're telling the truth, then what happens? Because they just dragged them through the mud, dragged their names through the mud. You look at Travis Walton and Adrian Payne and Keith Appling. Now their image is ruined because of hearsay and because ESPN reported it as if it already happened. And ESPN, the integrity of this lies in what happens after this. Will they stop at Michigan State, or will they begin to open up investigations at other universities?
And I have to say this too, Austin. I mean, when watching that E60 report, you have to admit yourself, if you are being completely honest with yourself, those instances were that were detailed in that report, I thought Paula Levine did a really good job as an investigative journalist. And there are a lot, it raised a lot of questions, Austin. And a lot of those questions need to be answered. I mean, heck, she had Adrian Payne, the interrogation video of Adrian Payne discussing what happened in the group sex situation with Carolyn Shaner and Keith Appling in the room when they were recruits. I mean, there are a lot of questions that need to be answered here, and I don't think we can deny that. But again, what I'm saying is we need to pause and just let this investigation play out until we have the facts. That's what I'm stressing today.
And my last point is, this doesn't stop at athletics. This needs to be an issue that's opened up beyond athletics at the university.
My man, Austin, thank you so much for weighing in, my dude.
Yes, sir. Talk to you later, pal.
517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Right now, I want to shift gears, and I want to discuss, as you guys know, I am a diehard red, white, and royal blue fan of the Detroit Pistons. And I must say, I had some mixed emotions when I was in my office yesterday evening and I began to scroll through my Twitter timeline, and then bam, breaking news. The Pistons are in discussions with the Los Angeles Clippers in acquiring Blake Griffin. Well, as you know by now, that move eventually came to fruition. And now Blake Griffin is a member of the Detroit Pistons, as the Pistons sent away Tobias Harris, Avery Bradley, Boban Marjanovic, and a first and second round draft pick. The Clips are also sending to the D Bryce Johnson and Willie Reed. To talk about this blockbuster trade deal and more is our dear friend James Edwards III, Detroit Pistons beat reporter for The Athletic Detroit. James, how are you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, Al. Excuse me. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You must be one busy man. I mean, following the details of what happened last night. First off, James, how did this deal get made, and did you expect this coming down the pike on Monday?
I don't think anybody expected this deal to get made. I think people, especially people that cover the team, expected a deal to get made. Van Gundy told us today that it was a deal that's been in the works for the past couple of days. I think ESPN reported it goes back as far as 6 days ago, but it kind of picked up in the last 24 hours. And what Stan really said today was, it's hard to get a superstar, a proven superstar in this league, through free agency. and through the draft. It's a rare thing. And oh, I'm sorry, through free agency. And obviously, if you're not a team that's continuously picking in the top five, it's hard to get a perennial superstar. So the trade is the way to go. And as soon as they kind of were presented this opportunity, they thought it was a no-brainer on their end not to take it, to add that type of impact player on their team, to have that type of faith of the franchise that can put the butts in seats. It was a move that I wouldn't say it's somewhat out of desperation. I think Stan's hot seat was getting a little warmer, and he clearly wanted to win now. And this is a move that looks like that could cover both bases, let him get through his contract, which ends next year, see how this goes out. And they should be able to contend for a postseason spot this year. I know they're three games back from the eighth seed, but there's a lot of time left. And then they have all of next year as well, so before Stan's contract goes up. So it's a crazy deal. I don't know if anybody expected this, but, it's something to keep an eye on here in Detroit.
James, did the Detroit Pistons get better with this move? And who won this trade? Did the Clips win or did the Pistons win here?
It's hard to – you hear your different rationales for why one team won over the other. I look at it like this. I've had a source tell me that Avery Bradley, as the team was kind of declining over this past month since Reggie Jackson went out, they've lost eight straight, that it was more and more likely that he wasn't going to resign. I mean, given the market that he's looking for as a 3-and-D guy, it didn't seem like the Pistons would benefit from giving him a long-term deal. So I really look at it as you're trading Blake Griffin for Tobias Harris in a first-round pick, and I think if you put their stats on paper and you put these names up and you look at it, I think that's a deal anybody would do 10 times out of 10. Blake Griffin is a five-time All-Star, All-NBA selection, 28 years old. Tobias has had a good year offensively. He's had his best year. He's improved and has become a deadly shooter. But he's a guy defensively that really gave this team some of their defensive issues that arose over these past couple of weeks. He was the primary source of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Blake Griffin is a slightly better defender. He's a guy you can run your offense through. It gives, when Reggie Jackson comes back, he gives you two guys that can kind of create. And I understand why Stan did it. He wants to win now. And the Clippers want to build for the future while winning now. So I think both teams won. I think people say the Pistons lost because Blake Griffin's contract and his injury history, they're glued to him for 5 years and $171 million. You're going to pay Drummond, Reggie Jackson, and Blake Griffin over $70 million amongst the three of them over the next 2 years. And that's a lot of money for a team that could probably just make four or five seed, three at the best in the Eastern Conference. But I also don't think there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's a hard win. It's a hard league to win in. And I don't see anybody beating Golden State anyway. So why not be competitive? Why not be exciting in the process?
Yeah, that is certainly true. And I think this is a move that will put some butts in the seat down at Little Caesars Arena. But, you know, and the thing is, the reservations that I have with this move is, as you mentioned, James, the money that is going to be allocated to Griffin, among others, on the roster, as well as, you know, the like you said, the injury history when it comes to Blake. How big of a concern is that?
Well, Stan talked about it today, and obviously anybody that's paid attention to basketball and Blake Griffin knows that he's a guy that's had, I think, six lower body injuries and a handful of other ones. But when he's on the floor, you can make the case he's a top 10 player in the NBA, and that's kind of where the risk outweighed the reward for Stan. Is they know that the risk is he's injury prone. He's missed a good chunk of time in his career. But the reward is if he's healthy, you roll the dice, you're getting a top 10 player. And I'm not sure that what are the odds that first round pick that they gave up turns into a top 10 player. What are the odds Tobias Harris ever turns into a top 10 player? And Avery Bradley's not going to be a top 10 player. So Why not roll the dice? Why not gamble on somebody who, yes, is a long-term money commitment, but on the other end, he's also committed to the Pistons. 5 years, he can't get out of that. So as long as he stays healthy, the Pistons are getting one of the best players in the NBA for the foreseeable future.
Okay, so you like this move then, James, it sounds like, right?
I don't dislike it, and I saw a lot of that talk going around Twitter. I understand, like I said, people's qualms with paying an injury-prone big man, and pairing him with Drummond, paying him that much money over this much time.
Right.
But I also understand Stan wanted to win now. They wanted to be competitive. Tom Gores has been talking about being competitive, wanting to win now. When you get a guy, like I said, of Griffin's stature, it gives you that opportunity. Will they ever win a championship with this team, with this roster that they have right now? Probably not. Will they maybe make another deal? It's a possibility. Do they have enough assets to make a big enough deal that it could push them to serious Eastern Conference contenders? I don't know. That's yet to be seen. But I do think it makes them competitive. I do think there's a situation in which maybe not this year because they're three games back and you're going to have to get acclimated with Blake and Andre, and then Reggie doesn't come back for another month at least. It's not going to be pretty here for these first couple months, but I think next year this is a team that has the potential to at least grab a 4 seed or a 5 seed in the Eastern Conference. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being Toronto Raptors or the Los Angeles Clippers out in the Western Conference, especially home market team. Winning can do a lot. Winning can bring an audience, and winning can keep fans engaged.
James Edwards III joins us here on WKAR's Current Sports. James is a Detroit Pistons beat reporter for The Athletic, Detroit. And I tell you what, it should be an interesting night tonight because I know the Pistons do play on national television against the Cleveland Cavaliers at 8 p.m. I believe that will be seen on TNT. The Cavs, of course, they have been a big dog in the East for quite some time. However, they've had some glaring troubles this season. I don't know if they're going to make the NBA Finals this year. James, I know that's a kind of a bold statement, but I right now the chemistry for the Cavs is really off tilt, in my opinion. But the Pistons are losers of 8 straight. What do you think happens tonight, and when can we expect Blake Griffin, in his first debut for the Pistons? When is that being slated for right now?
Yeah, I agree with you. I've been in the bandwagon all year that I think the Celtics are going to be the winners out in the East. I don't see this Cavaliers team turning it on late. I just think this team is too old. There's too many problems inside the franchise, and I just don't see it happening. But you can go ahead and chalk the Pistons up for 9 straight. They're not going to win tonight. They're going to be without 3 guys. Obviously, Avery, Tobias, and Boban Marjanovic. So they're going to have limited in what they can use. Tobias is their leading scorer. Avery is their best defender and a 14-point scorer. So you can go ahead and chalk that one up as an L. And you might be able to chalk Thursday up as well. But Stan knew that's going to be a process. And it sounds like there's a possibility Blake could play on Thursday. He has to pass his physical. I've been told that he's on his way to Detroit. He'll be here tonight. I'm not sure if that means he'll be at the game, but I know he will be in Detroit at some point tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have him. They're hoping for Thursday. It could be their next game, which I believe is Saturday. That could be the one that I would maybe for sure pencil in that he'll play. But yeah, you can bet your bottom dollar that tonight will not be pretty.
I'll still be watching. I think many people will still be watching tonight. But yeah, I'm not. Yeah, don't put some money on the Detroit Pistons tonight, without a doubt, James. And James, final question, man. You know, since you've been covering this team, this is your first year as a beat reporter for the Detroit Pistons. You've gotten a chance to know these players, and on a different level. You're at the games, each and every game, talking with these players at practices, in the locker room. Who have you really developed a close relationship with throughout this time? And who are some of your favorite players to cover on the Pistons if they haven't already left with this whole blockbuster deal with the L.A. Clippers?
I had garnered a pretty good relationship with Tobias Harris in my time. He was a guy that when you sat down with him, he was always interesting. He always had something to say. He was willing to talk to reporters. He kind of accepted the responsibility that comes with being an NBA player. Avery Bradley was another guy that was a nice guy, a genuine guy to talk to. But I would say for me personally, on my first year on the beat, some of the guys that I've built a good rapport with would have been Tobias Harris. Luke Kennard's another guy that I've built a good rapport with.
Mm-hmm.
Reggie Jackson, Andre Drummond. You see these guys all the time. And when you're on the road, it's really just the team and me and 2 other beat reporters. So we're around these guys all the time. They probably see our faces more than their families. But it's part of the game is getting these guys to get comfortable with you. Understanding that you're here to do a job, making sure you're asking them questions that are not a waste of their time. So as long as you do that and you treat everybody with respect, vice versa, goes both ways, you get along with everybody. And they seem to understand that you're doing a job and you have questions that pertain to certain situations in the season. But But yeah, to answer your question, I think Luke, Reggie, Andre, some other guys on the team. I have a pretty good rapport with some better than the others. But
right.
Like you said, I've only been 2 months in, so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, as we approach the halfway mark of the NBA year, the All-Star game coming up, of course, come next month. To close out this, James, we only got 2 minutes left, but do you have a favorite story or favorite moment so far this season?
One that I can tell on the radio?
Yeah, one that you can tell on the radio. Yeah, we don't want the FCC calling us.
Okay. Yeah, the better stories are ones I'd have to tell you over a beer or two. What's the best story that I could tell?
Yeah, and even just your time, you know, just covering different teams as you travel with the squad, you know?
I think Boban, just watching how guys interact with Boban was always interesting to me. I remember we were in, I want to say, New York, and Tobias Harris, I was talking to Tobias Harris, and Boban comes in his path with a towel on. He had just got out of the shower, and he was eating an In-N-Out burger. And Tobias Harris does not eat bad at all. Like, I don't even know if he eats meat. And Tobias Harris just stopped our conversation and just looked at Boban and just said, "You're nasty." And Boban just scarfed down a whole In-N-Out burger in his face and licked his fingers, and Tobias just looked disgusted. But those two, the Toby and Bobby show lives on in L.A. They were both joys to cover, both great guys, top-of-the-class guys. So I wish them the best in their basketball careers.
Definitely, and we continue to wish you the best, James, as you continue to cover the Detroit Pistons throughout this season. Again, James Edwards III, Detroit Pistons beat reporter for The Athletic Detroit. James, thank you so much for your time, my man.
Appreciate you, boss. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it, my friend. Oh, yeah, and, you know, to elaborate more, just one more tidbit when it comes to the relationship between Tobias Harris and Boban Marjanovic, and they both now are heading to the L.A. Clippers. I saw a video that went viral online of Tobias Harris teaching Boban, over 7 foot tall, Boban Marjanovic, how to do the chicken noodle soup dance from the early 2000s. And it is absolutely golden. Much thanks to James Edwards III. Much thanks to all of our listeners out there. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow, right here live on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. I am your host, Al Martin, bidding you an adieu. As always, be easy, people.